It's amazing to think that less than 200 years ago, the easiest way to get around a lot of the Pacific Northwest was by canoe. The first American steamship to provide regular service among Puget Sound ports arrived in 1853. It soon blew up and sank, and now an Oregon-based group of shipwreck hunters wants to find the historic remains of that little steamer. Correspondent Tom Bonsi tagged along for one of their hunts near Steilacoom, Washington.
This starts with one man's obsession. Appropriately enough, he's nicknamed Tug.
Because I grew up on Puget Sound, and my family has a small tugboat.
Michael Tug Busey of Port Townsend, Washington, teaches history and social studies by day. In his spare time, he's captivated by maritime history, steamboats in particular.
And then I discovered this tiny little sidewheeler, and I just became infatuated with her. And so I've been researching her now for almost 5 years.
She's the ferry, spelled like Tinkerbell the ferry, not a car ferry. The pioneer steamboat had a short life, beginning with the California Gold Rush and ending with a boiler explosion in 1857 as she was leaving the wharf in Steilacoom bound for Olympia. In between, the sidewheeler made history.
In my opinion, the ferry is the founding member of the Mosquito Fleet.
The fleet, so named because Puget Sound steamships would become so numerous, they resembled a swarm of mosquitoes for a time.
If you think about it, how many California Gold Rush-era steamboats exist today in any form, wrecked or otherwise? That technology is a really critical technology in the settlement and development of the West.
The historical significance of the ferry made Busey want to find the wreck, and he says it didn't take much convincing when he met the people he needed to help him. That would be an all-volunteer group, largely based in Astoria and Portland, called the Maritime Archaeological Society. Chris Dewey is the group's president.
We are now looking for the metal parts of that steamer, being the boiler, the engine, and probably most of the paddle wheels.
Dewey spoke aboard one of three inflatables launched to scan the seafloor just off the Steilacoom shore. It's a sunny, calm day in early August, ideal for towing a torpedo-shaped magnetometer back and forth.
Altimeter is reading 14 feet. Yeah, we don't want to get too much closer.
The device detects iron or steel on the seafloor. A second boat team surveyed the bottom with side-scan sonar, and a third team stood by with an underwater robot video camera to investigate promising targets.
Did you see something, Scott?
Oh, no, hang on. Something got me.
There's no likelihood of gold or silver treasure to motivate the shipwreck hunters in this case. The volunteers include a cartographer, a retired Navy officer, a professional archaeologist, as well as people interested in shipwrecks as a hobby, such as Jennifer Kozik of Portland.
Well, I mean, I love the sea, so any excuse to have to go to the beach, especially if you're doing something with purpose instead of just going to hang out. So because I'm not working in archaeology, is more my passion, so that's what I just started to do on the side.
The shipwreck will probably be considered a state-owned archaeological site if Kozik and friends find the ferry where they're looking. The methodical, hours-long search identified three underwater objects that should be checked out more. The deepest is about 90 feet down, and the others are about 60 feet deep. Dewey says a close-up inspection with divers comes next, probably in the fall. I'm Tom Bonsi in Steilacoom, Washington.